CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and James Tooley, the author of a new book, is with me, Really Good Schools, Global Lessons for High-Caliber, Low-Cost Education. James has discovered through his investigations throughout very poor parts of the former British Empire, but now Africa and Asia, that there are self-organized schools, independent of the government, independent of resources, doing very well, thank you very much. The BBC has questions, and there's an audit done by the government, I believe, of how many schools there are that qualify as low-cost and private, and how many children are served. James, I have these notes. 12,098 schools serving 1.4 million children. Is that in India? Thank you.
No. So that figure is from Lagos, the state of Lagos in Nigeria. Nigeria is a federal state, a country, as you know, and Lagos is the commercial capital of Nigeria. And so I've been doing research suggesting that the majority of poor kids in the urban areas were in private schools. I'd be making some estimate about how many this would be, but you know, I didn't have the resources to do this exactly. And then the Lagos state government, I think, funded by DFID, the Department for International Development from the UK, they then insisted they do a proper census. My guess, between you and me, hoping to prove Tooley wrong, you know, that actually there would be very few of these schools, and they found, as you say, over 12,000 schools serving 1.4 million children. And now we've been, we extrapolate from that evidence further. There's probably 14,500 of those low-cost schools now serving probably two and a bit million kids. This is not a small-scale phenomenon. This is the key thing for your listeners to realize, that when I first talked about it, you know, people denied the existence or said, oh, you maybe found one or two business people ripping off the poor. Absolutely not. This is a mass phenomenon. That survey in Lagos showed 70% of school-aged children were in private schools. Other surveys across Africa now, Kampala in Uganda, 85% of poor kids are in private schools. Accra, Nairobi, similar figures. Delhi, Hyderabad, Bombay, Mumbai, similar figures. Huge majority of urban kids and substantial minorities of rural kids are in low-cost private schools, probably 30% in urban India, which means there are a substantial number of schools. Listen to this figure, 450,000 low-cost private schools in India. That's an estimate which I've made, but others concur with it. This is a mass movement across the developing world, and it's one that we need to take seriously. Absolutely.
Let's go to Liberia with you, Monrovia, the capital of Nigeria, of Liberia.
Liberia.
You arrive and you have a helpful driver, and you go to West Point and meet Mrs. Monroe. What is West Point, and what is Mrs. Monroe's occupation?
Okay, and so let me put the context is, why Liberia, okay? So when I published The Beautiful Tree, remember I looked at Ghana, Kenya, Nigeria, India, China. A criticism I got was, okay, how can you say private schools are good for the poor? How can you say that, and you're implying good for the poorest, when you've gone to these countries which are now not the poorest countries, not the most difficult countries? You know, if you go elsewhere, you won't find this phenomenon. So I then took that criticism seriously and said, right, I'm going to go to war-torn or conflict-affected states in Africa. And I did the same studies I'd done before, but this time in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and South Sudan, where there had been wars, or in the case of South Sudan, the civil war was still going on. And so, you know, as usual, I arrived in the country. In this case, we arrived at Monrovia Airport, took a taxi into town, found my hotel, then got a little local taxi, this wonderful guy called Edward. He sort of understood what I was after, and I said, I want to go to the slums, and nearest slums, he said, West Point's a place, which is this, just these slums are the same across West Africa, so, you know, just very poor shanty towns, mud buildings, simple brick buildings, no latrines, open drains, open sewers into the, and it's a peninsula going into the sea there. And I arrived, and Edward very kindly accompanied me. I said, let's go down this alley, we asked someone, I'm looking for low-cost private schools, do you know any? And this woman said, yeah, just go down there, turn left, turn right, past the women braiding each other's hair, and you'll find. And there, sure enough, was Mrs. Monroe and Crewe Beach Elementary and Junior School. She was the first low-cost private school proprietor I found there in Liberia. And, yeah, again, one of very many in these places. And, you know, she said, I asked her the usual question. I sat down with her, excited, so excited. I get so excited when I go to these new countries and find the same phenomenon. Because remember, I told people I was going to Liberia, and they said, you won't find low-cost private schools there. And then the first day there, finding the schools. Why do children come to your school? I ask her. She says, oh, sometimes the government school is full. But the woman who had accompanied me there said, no, teachers in public schools don't pay full-time attention with the children. I wrote it down verbatim. She knew why. That was why. And these schools are thriving there. In the slums, we looked at 7 slums, I think, in Monrovia, including West Point. One was called Chicken Soup Factory. You can probably guess why that was called so called. It was the slum around the Chicken Soup Factory. There's one called Red Light, the slum there. You'd be wrong if you guessed why that was called. It was named after the functioning traffic light in Monrovia. But these slums, 71% of the kids in these slums were in low-cost private schools. An extraordinary.
James, we just have less than a minute here before we turn to the thinking about these schools. But did they know about each other? Were they organized, James, in Monrovia?
No. So I helped them create a Liberian Independent Schools Association, LISA, where we would have some form of associations. I've done that in a few countries. In Nigeria, there's wonderful AFED, the Association of Formidable Education Development. In India, NISA, the National Independent Schools Association. So there are now associations. I would love to create a global federation of these schools where people could learn from each other's experience. That's perhaps for the future. But there are associations, and they do learn about each other.
Let's turn to the thinking behind all of these schools, independently or together. Really Good Schools is the book, Global Lessons for High-Caliber, Low-Cost Education. James Tooley is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.